Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
I'd say good morning, but you know the rest. Well, my friends of Mudville, my dear friends, it's a sobering day. And I don't even know if I feel angry. I think the feeling right now for me as I begin this show is almost resignation. I'm resigned that they're just not good enough. I just don't think they're a very good football team. I'll start, I guess, with the defense because the defense got its ass handed to it. Jim Schwartz got just poked in the eyeballs by Sean McVay all game long, except for that one stretch in the second quarter, early third. They couldn't do anything defensively. They couldn't force a turnover. They couldn't make a big play. And because the defensive coordinator, forget about, you know, blitzing, because he'll never do that, but he just got poked every which way, ragdolled by Sean McVay. That's after blowing a 17-0 lead against Washington that lost badly yesterday in Arizona. The personnel defensively, I mean, if you see a linebacker, let me know. I don't know that the white snake is going to cut it as the backer. I don't know. All that money up front, what'd those guys do? Anything? Was there anything there we saw up front to dictate the game of play? So I don't think they have, A, the personnel defensively. I don't think they have the coaching defensively. You know, we've been through it with Schwartz over and 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 over. And offensively, quarterback is lost at times, tries too hard at times. I mean, it's a mortal sin to throw that ball on first down and get picked off in the end zone. It's a mortal sin. It's a game-losing play. Game-losing play. You can't make that throw. To add ignominy to it, it was on first down. On first down. Dude, throw the freaking ball away. What are you doing? On first down, you can't take shots thinking you can throw the ball through a brick wall. You know what I mean? You know, that's going to come into play. Forget the fact that you're throwing to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, all right? But you can't make that throw. And then we go to the roster construction offensively. Is there a receiver right now that you can trust other than Deshaun Jackson? Seriously, is there anyone? Again, it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. There's no one on the outside to make plays. I saw cutaways late. I didn't see guys running free. Again, they wait until the second half to get Deshaun Jackson involved. You want to run all that tight end, that 12 personnel, 13 personnel, all that Pletch playing a box offense, and it gets you nowhere. And then you got the head coach who, you know, Holmes, how many times are you going to call the same play over and over and over again, really? I mean, come on. I mean, where's the imagination in the offense? Now, granted, you're missing that element. I don't know that Jalen Reagor is a bust or can't play, but he's just not ready. I mean, it's hard for rookies other than DK Metcalf and some of those guys that you missed out on, but it's hard for rooks to come in, especially the diminutive ones, and make a difference. Like, who, again, I brought this up. Who's the guy that's going to move the sticks? Oh, DeSean Jackson. Who's the guy that's going to go down the field? Oh, DeSean Jackson. I mean, it's all you got. The only reliable receiver you got is DeSean Jackson. The quarterback tries way too hard. Therefore, he'll throw high to Goddard, or he'll miss Ertz. And you can see it. His footwork at times is not good. I think he can play, all right? I've always thought he can play. The throws, there were three of them, to DeSean Jackson, where he's on the other hash and he throws the outs. Very few quarterbacks can make that throw. He can, on the money, right? He can. And that's what leads to my frustration, because I know that you have the arm talent to succeed. Because I watched that throw. That throw is one of the most difficult throws that a quarterback has. And if you can make that throw, you should be able to make the other throws. Because you saw them. They're on point, too. They're on a rope. So you should be able, if your mechanics are right, your head's right, you should be able to make those throws. And you got to play smarter. And again, I don't know where we go, because I just don't think they're a good football team. I think they're mediocre. There's some things you like and a lot of things you don't. And, you know, we didn't get really a good chance to see them because of no preseason. But they're just, you know, they were mediocre last year. They were mediocre the year before. Right? I mean, you know, they made the playoffs the last 2 years, but they had to go with frantic, you know, streaks at the end of the season to get to mediocre in a bad division. I mean, let's face it, they're blessed with a bad division. Now, I don't know what's going to happen after the Cowboys get bailed out by the Falcons. Is that their moment where they then go on a run? Because they were looking at 0-2, and had the Falcons not had their heads up their collective giggies, they would have lost again. They would have been 0-2. But somehow they're able to, somehow the Falcons blocked their own guys and allowed the Cowboys to recover the onside kick. So now they have like a stay of execution. Now, I remember that Elliott field goal. We all remember that. And what it did for the Eagles. Might that do for the Cowboys? What the Elliott kick did for the Eagles? I don't know. Here's what I do know. They're not good. I don't think they're wretched. I think they're painfully okay. That's it. Now, I don't know where you go from here. Other than the road to 8-8. I don't know. Quarterback pleading. Well, it's okay. It's not time to panic. Not time to panic. All right, dude. I mean, you know, should they beat the Bengals? Yeah, they should beat the Bengals. You got a banged up Niners team that you're going to face after that? I don't know. Maybe. All I do know is you're going to get drilled by the Ravens and probably by Pittsburgh. And that's kind of what we're staring at. Now, I don't know. Can you make that work? Can they somehow hope that Jalen Reagor is able to, you know, grow a little bit? I don't know. Some of these young receivers who got speed, the high towers, I don't know, maybe. But you're dancing the tightrope again. And it goes also back down to Howie. All roads lead to personnel with roster construction, because all those picks that they flubbed are coming home to roost. the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside pick was just an embarrassment. Looking at what the talent was out there. Barnett is hurting. You messed up Sidney Jones. That hurts you. All these picks. Dillard. Now, I know he's hurt, but, you know who he was. The only one paying any dividends is Sanders. But what up? Where's your linebackers? Oh, you had to go cheap on linebackers because you didn't hit on receivers and you have to double down on receivers. You paid Alshon Jeffrey a king's ransom to sit out, and be stiff and be hurt. You can't overcome all those mistakes and be good. Now, I don't know if my expectations are just too high for him. Not seeing him in the preseason hurts it, and nobody wants to go through the season thinking it's a disastrous season or it's an 8-8, 7-9 season. But some people had that feeling, and quite frankly, my heart was rooting elsewhere, rooting against my, was trying to trump my head because there's something shaky about this team. We knew it coming in. The worst thing that we have seen so far to me has been the defense. As bad as the offense has been, I thought the defense would be better. I thought the front would be better. And it's just, as much as I hate their linebackers, I thought, well, maybe they can overcome it. We said against running teams, they're going to be in trouble. But look, that's Sean McVay. He just pantsed Jim Schwartz. He took those Jim Schwartz and he went and he pulled them right down. Pantsed them. Good morning, Jonas.
Hello. So he's, Jim Undies now? Because he pulled the shorts down?
Yeah.
And pretty much. Yeah, that was awful yesterday. And, I got to admit that I was wrong about the whole Sean McVay thing. Sean McVay developed a game plan that am I crazy to think that I should have expected the Eagles to have a game plan like that after not doing it week one, except for that first series where they scored a touchdown? And we all said, us on the radio, callers on the radio, when you're in the Wawa having a conversation, hey, look how good it looked when they moved Carson out of the pocket that first series against Washington. They scored a touchdown. Jared Goff, that wasn't just 15 plays to start the game. It was every series. Every other play, Jared Goff was rolling left, rolling right, out of the pocket, misdirection. I mean, quite frankly, the Eagles are lucky that they even made it a game at one point.
Well, that's right. I mean, you fall behind 21-3.
Yeah.
You
think it's a wrap.
Right.
I mean, you're lucky that you came back.
Right. The fumble hurt, but really the defense could stop anybody. So, three straight drives, three straight touchdowns, 21-3. But the way this game is, Washington came back right down 17-0.
Unbelievable.
The way this game goes is you can come back, you can get momentum. I don't know why Doug went for two that early. It didn't hurt him, but it was stupid.
Oh, because he wants to prove that he's the smartest man in the world.
Yeah, well, I was just dumb. But whatever. That's way down on the list.
I mean, they made Jared Goff look like Joe Montana yesterday. He was 13 for his first 13. But you know what? It's because guys were wide open.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, listen, Wentz was horrible. Again, he did not play well. Sans those throws to DeSean Jackson.
Right.
But I don't see the guys running wide open. Again.
Yeah, you don't see that.
I watch the Rams. I see guys running. I see plays to be made. I don't see that with the Eagles' offense.
Yeah, that fourth down where they tried converting it was in the fourth quarter. Again, it was an option where his two reads were Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, and they had Rams players draped all over them.
Well, you don't think the Rams know that?
Yeah, well, you're right. Exactly.
I mean, going into it, I thought, the tight ends have to be the difference, right? I mean, I said that 100 times all week long that's the matchup.
Yep.
Well, the Rams said the same thing.
Yeah, so what they do,
Brandon Staley, who's the defensive coordinator for the Rams, I mean, he's not dumb. He goes, yeah, well, he's going to throw to the tight end, so yeah. I'm going to cover the tight ends. I mean, that's what happened.
I mean, it's problematic, and this comes back to Doug and his game planning. Last year, it's obviously it's different this year with COVID. The locker room availability with players isn't the same. Last year, I must have seen it 15 times where a player on the opposing team defense said, we knew what was coming almost every other play. It looked like that yesterday. Yeah, it looked like the Rams knew what was happening.
I mean, listen, lost in this whole thing is you know, they made the playoffs last year, right? You know, it's the same team lost in Miami to that wretched Dolphins
right.
team. I mean, that squeaked out wins against the Redskins and Giants.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why they made the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, at some point, the idea is, now listen, none of us had Super Bowl aspirations.
No.
I mean, how many times do we say, they're not going to the Super Bowl, but you know, you expect them to be a playoff team.
Yeah, extra playoff team, new format this year. They should be one of those teams in it.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, who knows?
Your saving grace is you beat Cincinnati with a bad defense, and then San Francisco's still banged up. And now you kind of have 2-2. I guess you call it clean slate. I don't know what happens around you in the NFC East.
Yeah, but you're also automatically giving them two wins. And
yeah.
You can't do that. You can't even.
Cincinnati's not an automatic win.
No.
It's not.
No. No. You know, I mean, close your eyes. Can you see the headlines Sunday night after the game? Joe Burrow notches his first NFL win.
Yeah, you can see it.
Like, it's not like I can't see that. And they got problems. I mean, they got huge roster issues, man. Huge. This is not making them mountain out of 0-2. I mean, they don't look good.
No, you're right. And when you miss picks left and right, I mean, I don't want to just keep on bringing the DK Metcalf thing, but obviously he's a story after last night, scores a touchdown. He has 9 career touchdown receptions. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has 10 career receptions.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The guy can't play. I hated the pick from the beginning.
Yeah, I know you did.
It was ridiculous. And look, you know, the Dalvin Cook thing, you know I like Miles Sanders, but if you had Dalvin Cook, you don't need Miles Sanders. You use that pick elsewhere. It's how it kind of plays out, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
And again, they have no linebackers, and they took Jalen Hurts. Again, that pick is so bad. And nothing against Jalen Reagor, because maybe he's a decent player down the line. But CeeDee Lamb's the guy that moves the sticks. Like, you could see CeeDee Lamb. You could see the talent. You watched some of the Cowboys game. You could see it. He's just more polished. He's bigger, sleek. You know he's going to be a player. And you can say, I couldn't trade up. I couldn't trade up. Well, whatever.
Find a way.
You got Jalen Hurts. You got a college quarterback in the second round. All right.
Yeah, but he was out there for two gadget plays.
Let's use him as a decoy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on. Are we serious?
And we're going to see more of it. Doug's going to find ways to just get him on the field.
Yeah, he's going to force it.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
The first play was nice.
Going to force it. He's definitely going to force it. And the teams are going to go, wow, you want to give Jalen Hurts the ball? Go ahead.
I dare you.
They're going to be like, you're going to shrug. Yeah, all right. You're taking all the playmaker off the field. Oh, wait, they don't have a lot of playmakers. So. All right. Wow. Depressing day yesterday on a magical, it was beautiful day, too.
Oh, yeah.
An autumnal classic. And I'm worried. I'm worried about everything, everyone. Not good. We are in a slump in Philadelphia. Slump. Let's commiserate, my friends. 610. Well, your phone lines are filled, so you know the number.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There is there's so much blame to spread, like, you know, peanut butter on toast, right? I mean, it's amazing how much blame Carson. Now, this is according to Hembo, who joins Mike. I love Hembo. It's great. But I don't know where they got this from, the ESPN stats. Wentz has made 20 off-target throws this season, most in the NFL. 15 have come inside a clean pocket. Now, if that's true, that's just horrible.
Yeah, it's not good, if that's true.
I'm sure we'll find out what's ESPN. I don't know. The only problem with the throw, listen, we could all see, like, the throw to Goddard. It was high, right? It was, you know, he almost got him killed. The only thing is, you really don't know where the play was going and the role of the receiver in running the route. I mean, the role of where the receiver is supposed to be, is it an out? Is it an in? Where, like, that's the only thing that I don't know. That's why it's not really a stat, because you don't really understand where the play was going.
Right.
So, but whatever. I mean, listen, the bottom line is you don't need Hembo, who's a great stat guy, to tell you Wentz has played poorly. He has.
Yeah. And the other thing I can't stand hearing from Doug is this whole lack of preseason thing. And I get it, but I see other teams around football playing pretty well. And I have a tweet from Jeff McClain to read for you, Anthony.
Real quick, before you do that, because I was just watching Gabriel Davis. You know who Gabriel Davis is?
Our caller?
No, you know who Gabriel Davis is? Seriously.
No.
Wide receiver for the Bills?
Oh, yes.
Third round pick out of UCF. I'm watching him make a game-winning catch.
Yeah.
Just saying, front office, you know, I don't know how many times you're going to swing and miss.
Yes. It hasn't been good. But here's Jeff McClain's tweet. Let's say the Eagles have been affected by the offseason restrictions because of new faces. He follows it up with, however, you have the same head coach and his offense. You have the same defensive coordinator and his defense. Same quarterback. Same top two ball catchers from last year, Ertz and Goddard. Same top running back, Miles Sanders. Didn't have him week one, but you had him yesterday. The offensive line isn't new. Yes, it's banged up, but there are familiar faces. Same defensive line except for one guy. No new linebackers, which, you know, they're terrible. If anything's changed, you have new defensive backs. And you also have the same special teams. So you can't say, oh, well, the skill position didn't get much work. Yeah, you're right, Doug. But Deshaun's back. Goddard and Ertz. Miles Sanders. Greg Ward. Really, the only new skill position guys are Jalen Reagor and the 11 plays that John Hightower played yesterday. I think Whiteside did nothing for you yesterday or last year, but he's still a second-year receiver here.
Yeah, this is the state of where they're at. There's blood that, on everybody's hands. I mean, I just think that's...
It's all over.
You know, that's the truth. All right, BG, finish up, man.
I'd rather him just say on the Cincinnati's and hear this man talk. He is just, you know, I'm exhausted hearing him talk. I'm exhausted watching him coach. I watch all the games. I'm watching other young guys get weapons, get plays that work for them. He has this crappy system that only apparently works with Nick Foles in three games. And, you know, I look at it as coaching. Look at Cam Newton last night. Cam Newton's looked better than I've ever seen Cam Newton throwing the ball. Yes. And that has to be with coaching, because that system up there brings dudes from off the bench, and then they go still win 11 games because of the system and the coaching they have in place. Carson Wentz is regressing. It must be because of the coaching. Because I'm looking, Nick Foles, people keep talking about Nick Foles, and I God bless him, but he went down there to a crappy team with no coaches, no nothing. What did he do? He goes up there to Chicago where they're known not to do anything with quarterbacks, and what does he do? He can't even start. So I don't think that it's just Carson Wentz. You know, he played horrible. Maybe if you coached him up and maybe if you did things he actually was good at, and then maybe you got some personnel in here, it will be better. But right now, I don't even know if we're going to beat the Bengals next week, and that's an embarrassment being an Eagles fan. I was sitting here on hold, and I'm not even just more angry hearing that dude. Love you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, BG. Thank you, brother. Take it easy, man. Martelli. Martelli, my man, Martelli. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going, bro?
Martelli, it's not good.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, brother. I said it's not good.
Give me 2 seconds right quick. Let me just tell you what I see.
Sure.
My perspective.
Go ahead, buddy.
My perspective is this. I hear a frustrated coach. That's the biggest issue. He's frustrated. I'm going to tell you something. I've heard people saying how they feel like Sean McVay would be doing this and that with Carson. Let me ask everybody a question. Everybody remember, who was on the board on that draft that the Rams were the number one pick? They could have taken Carson. They didn't take Carson. Sean McVay could have taken Carson. The kind of offense that you saw yesterday from the Rams is the same kind of offense that Doug wants to run, which is timing, accurate throws. I'm sorry, but Carson is not the most accurate passer. And that's the biggest...
Yeah, I don't disagree. He has not been accurate. I don't disagree at all. I don't think the offense is right for him. I think it goes back to Brett Brown, right? It goes back to, all right, these are my guys. I need to have a plan and run a system that's good for my players.
I hear that, but the thing is this. Carson throws the ball down the field, and the ball is behind guys. He's getting guys. You're talking about, going to Deshaun early. I wouldn't have gone to Deshaun early. You know what? At least Rager got some size to him as small as
he is. Yeah, I disagree with that, bro.
Laid out early. He got laid out early. Carson laid out.
I got to ask you a question. Hold on. I don't even understand what you're talking about. What do you mean you would not go to Deshaun?
I understand what you're saying as far as going to Deshaun.
He's their only credible weapon right now on the outside.
Right. I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is this, is as far as going over the middle, with the way Carson is putting the ball, he would get Deshaun killed, like he got Rager killed. Outside the numbers, what Deshaun does absolutely goes to him all day, but over the middle...
I'm not saying Deshaun needs to go over the middle. I don't disagree that Wentz has been... you're right. However... I still don't think the offense is right for him. And what's that?
No, welcome. So tell me, please. What kind of whose offense would you?
First
see
of all,
out there in the NFL,
what I would want is I would want more of an 11 personnel offense.
Uh-huh.
Where you got two credible receivers that are playmakers. I think he's better throwing the outside guys than he is dinking and ducking down a field.
Okay, so honestly, at this point in time, do you still think that Jalen Hurts pick is not a hedge?
It's a horrible pick.
I think they're hedging.
It's a horrible pick.
I think they're hedging. I think
you can hedge all you want. It's a horrible pick. So
I'm not saying it's not a horrible pick. We could have done better, but I'm thinking they're thinking.
Well, whatever. At this point, here's the thing. At this point, I got nothing to say about their. I don't care what they're doing. Like it frustrates the hell out of me because if you're going to go and overpick and overdraft Jalen Hurts, I think he's a sweet guy, nice guy, but if he was what they think he is, he would have went in the first round. All right, I mean, let's be real. It's a quarterback. There's the quarterbacks in this league. If you watched him at Oklahoma and Alabama, you could see what kind of guy he projects to.
I agree with you. I hear what you're saying. It's just so much frustration.
Yes, Martelli.
Because what we saw coming into the season, everybody else is doing their thing. Now, I don't care about what Doug's saying as far as the preseason and all that. I'm just saying this. Thank God we win next week. If we win next week, Dallas takes the L to Seattle, and we see what happens from there. But Carson has to step it up.
No, you're right about that. And he has not played well. And he has been horribly inaccurate. Worse than his accuracy, in my opinion, was the decision making. We have a tendency to look at every pass. I don't know what the route is. You know, that's the hardest thing when we look at Monday morning quarterback. We all want to play Monday morning. The leader of the pack. I want to play Monday morning quarterback. The only thing I can't do is know the route. You don't know. You don't know where are dummy routes. You don't know where the receiver is supposed to go. Some of them you have an idea, right? And on the idea of them, he has been inaccurate. I agree. But like that second interception against Washington, was that on him or was that on the kid?
John Hightower's fault. Didn't come back for it.
But we don't know either way is my point. And that's the only difficult thing. What I do know is his decision-making is worse than his inaccuracy. Because the decision-making is this. Last week, he didn't throw the ball away, right? This week, he made a horrible decision that cost him any chance to get back in the game. But it's not all his fault, man. It's not.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.